You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for January 3rd, 2020. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the middle of Middle America, where a few angry letters from the wingnuts who hang out at DJ's Diner can shake NBC to its foundations. It's The Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal.
January 3rd, where we've already had enough of 2020.
Yeah, we have. We really, really have. How you doing, Blue Gal, in this bright, beautiful new decade, new you, new year, blah, 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 and so forth?
Yeah, I think it's kind of telling that our adult Sunday school is having us come up with a word of the year. This is a thing that Sunday schools and other groups do. Rather than a mission statement, you come up with a word like direction or governed or truth or whatever. And my word, and I can explain it later if you want me to, but my word of the year is beauty.
Yes.
And your word of the year is?
My placeholder, until I find a better one, is revenge. It seems like not a particularly Christian thing to do.
Revenge is his word of the year.
It's the first thing that came to mind. And I regret it, not regret it. And it's my placeholder, but it's going to be a real long, ugly year full of, real long, ugly screeds by people who are going to dominate our headlines only because they shout louder, only because they have a bigger microphone than we do. This is appalling. And the reason I did my little opening about the letters from DJ's Diner, which is a real place, by the way, is there's a little article in a place called Page Six that passed almost unnoticed, except by weirdos like me today, which is entitled Chuck Todd's Meet the Press Daily May Be Sidelined to Make Room for Nicole Wallace. They're dangling that job over his head publicly. Now, he has people, anonymous people, of course. I believe the article refers to them as a TV insider. Hey, asshole, I'm a TV insider. I watch TV. So that means nothing to me. But a TV insider, who I assume is Chuck Todd's mom, says, Chuck doesn't want to move to 9 a.m. He'd rather leave MSNBC completely and focus on Meet the Press on Sunday. So there's a whole bunch, I assume, four people who are really indignant that Chuck Todd is contemplating moving him around. Another insider, again, that could be you, Blue Gal, because you watch TV too, mused that it was madness for NBC to upset the face of its political coverage ahead of 2020. They need Chuck on the air every day, says, again, Chuck Todd's mom.
Said his agent, yes.
But the point is, why are they dangling Chuck Todd's job over his head in this very public way? And if you go all the way to the end, there's a fun little bit, which we in the writing business call the telling detail.
I was going to say the lead.
They buried the lead way deep. Last week, he said in the Rolling Stone magazine interview that he was just being naive. He had no idea Republicans were using him as their foil and were coming on his show to lie to him. And he was just very, very naive about their dishonesty, their serial pathological dishonesty. Of course, 4 years ago on a podcast, he said, yeah, I know they lie to me, but that's show business. And if I call them on it, they won't come on my show anymore. So, you know, I rely on the listeners to figure out who's being lied to. We all know they're crazy. We all know they're lying to us, but fuck it. This is show business. Who cares? So Chuck Todd is not naive. He's a liar. He was hired into that position to let Republicans lie. That's his job. And so it wasn't the overwhelming, well-researched catastrophe that was unloaded on his head by sane, normal people like us that drove Andy Lack and Phil Griffin, his bosses, to dangle his job. No, what caused him to do that was, quote, the move comes as Todd faces backlash for highlighting a letter to the editor of a small newspaper that stated voters who believe in, quote, fairy tales and Noah's Ark were more likely to vote for Donald Trump. They dangled his job and threatened his cafeteria privileges because he had the audacity to brush lightly up against the fact that wing nuts are idiots. And that's why Donald Trump has supporters, because they're morons. And I'd like to bring into our conversation a gentleman named Shipwreck Kelly. Shipwreck Kelly was in the 20s and 30s, which seems appropriate since it was a century ago. Shipwreck Kelly was one of he was the most famous one, but he was a pole sitter. He would climb up on flagpoles on top of very tall buildings and stay there for days. Mm. And that's how he was famous. He would sit up there. He would sit on a chair. He would stand. He'd eat lunch. He'd whatever, whatever. But his whole thing was, and there were lots of people doing this, climbing up to the top of a very big pole on top of a very tall building and just staying there. And I have to believe that Andy Lack and Phil Griffin are the television equivalents of that. Executives are. Mm-hmm. Their position is so precarious that they are acutely aware of every breeze, every creak, mm-hmm. yeah. every push, yeah. every everything. And they're the people who just insist that their people get on Twitter. They're the people who, you know, yeah. make it company yeah. policy to get out there on the social media and talk to the kids in their Snapchats and their Instagrams. And the idea that they would be not just unaware of, or just oblivious to the fact that not just this week, but Chuck Todd is just a fucking disaster. They picked him to replace David Gregory, who was exactly the same kind of shithead in exactly the same way. And they fired David Gregory in the middle of like a phone call when he's out on the road and replaced him with Chuck Todd, who is just exactly as awful as Gregory was. They can't. The face they would lose by admitting they made a huge fucking mistake. But he was so bad during the election.
Absolutely.
The king of both sides do it during the election.
And Hillary Clinton was overprepared right. for a debate.
And it was so
yeah.
clear that he had a script, and the script is always playing both sides. Always. It's like he's wearing an explosive device in his skull, and Andy Lack will blow his head off on the air if he doesn't just say both sides are to blame, because that's the fucking party line here. So a million emails and a whole bunch of Twitter and Chuck Todd trending on Twitter, which you got to notice eventually, two to mm-hmm. three times in 1 week versus 10 paper letters from the wingnuts at DJ's Diner. They're like, you know, it was the paper letters from the wingnuts that really moved us to really get Chuck Todd back in line.
No, I don't think it's but the fact that he crossed a line talking about voters.
Maybe.
And the voters noticed. Mm-hmm. And that's crossing a line. That you don't criticize voters for anything. That's how the Tea Party got away with what they got away with, is because you don't blame the voters. You don't blame Trump voters for anything. You treat them like, you know.
You blame politicians in Washington. Politicians in Washington.
Washington. You blame Washington, exactly.
It's both sides. It really is both sides.
So you have in our notes, so far 2020 has been the year that the liberal superpower has been making a comeback.
Yes, which is weird because...
It is weird.
It's making a comeback through the medium of the open sewer that is Twitter, which I kind of think is hilarious. And remember, the liberal superpower is memory. And literally since the beginning of 2020, the beginning of this year, which is just 3 days old, on Twitter in the last 24 hours. Oh, that's not quite true. I think this goes back to a week. So let's make it a week. Now that we're in the middle of World War III, or the opening salvo of World War III, Donald Trump, as of today, assassinated a leader of the Iraqi government. I'm sorry, the Iranian government in Iraq, thus precipitating what might very well be a tremendous, violent, disruptive, chaotic blowback, and drag us right back into the shithole that George Bush put us in 10 years ago, and worse. But the key here is to remember that attacking Iran is what Donald Trump did. And this week, a 2011 video surfaced in which Donald Trump is predicting that a, quote, weak and ineffective President Obama would attack Iran in order to win a second term. And there's a whole bunch of other tweets from him saying, don't fall for it, Republicans. He's going to attack Iran. He's going to start a war because he's weak and dumb and he wants to win re-election. That's the only way he's going to do it. Perfect.
There's always a tweet, but there isn't always a video. Yeah. And there is actually a video of private citizen Donald Trump.
Yeah, screaming about.
In his office at Trump Tower, screaming about Barack Obama.
The Kenyan usurper is going to start a war to win re-election because he's weak and ineffective. Yep. Soledad O'Brien this week, again, did good service by digging up Kathleen Parker, the horrible, horrible op-ed writer who still has one of the many, many, many people who still has a fucking job that for reasons that no one will explain to anyone. I believe it's in the Wall Street Journal, an op-ed from November of 2016 entitled, "Relax, whoever wins will be fine." Because as you and I both know, Bluegel, there is the iron rule of David Brooks. But it doesn't apply just to David Brooks. It is, if you're a conservative op-ed writer, the horrible shit you write a month or a year or a day ago is never quoted to you in real time. We all just agree, or your peers all just agree to forget it. Well, Soledad O'Brien broke the iron rule of David Brooks and dragged this out of the history book. And I'll quote now from it. If Trump wins, he'll be held more or less in check by the House and Senate, because that's the way our system of government's set up. Not even Republicans are eager to follow Trump's lead. There won't be a wall. He won't impose any religious-based immigration restrictions, because even Trump isn't that lame-brained. He'll dress up and behave at state dinners and be funny when called upon. He'll even invite the media to the White House holiday party. He won't nuke Iran for rude gestures. He won't assault women. He and Vladimir Putin will hate each other respectfully.
She's like for seven on being wrong.
She got everything. She's in the Bill Kristol area. Yeah. I didn't know it was possible statistically to be that completely fucking wrong. But I know of no job other than conservative beltway pundit where you can be that fucking wrong all the time and you get promoted. And no one mentions it except for rude people like nobody bloggers, certain podcasters from the Midwest, and Soledad O'Brien.
Can I ask you a question, though, about memory, given that we're on that topic?
Absolutely.
I'm fascinated that Fox News took the past 24 hours to get together all the Iraq war pimps.
Yeah, well.
You know, Ari Fleischer's on your TV, he's making statements like they will greet us as liberators, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's actually following that same line because they don't have anything else, right? Mm-hmm. I actually linked you today at Crooks and Liars. It'll be up a little later today. Your Bush Belly Sneeches post from many, many years ago.
Yeah.
The Bush off machine, where Fox News, Glenn Beck, the Tea Party, convinced all these voters that they never voted for Bush, right? They never voted for the failure that was the Bush administration. And erased their memory twice, right? Yeah. erased all memory of that.
Right. Never happened.
But Fox News viewers have also had Benghazi drilled into their heads so many times that they'll never forget Benghazi, because is a Fox News.
Sure they will.
Well, no, I don't think they will. Okay. I don't think they will. I'm going to argue with you that Fox News coverage in the past 24 hours, it got so bad that prior to Trump's assassination of an Iranian general, we were so close to even Fox News viewers realizing that Trump had a Benghazi-like situation. And the embassy in Baghdad was attacked because of American behavior. And if Fox News could not get around the fact that there is an attack on an embassy, and it's the same thing. The president's unprepared for it. And so they were initially, before the assassination of the Iranian general, very concerned and very upset that we not compare one attack on an embassy with another attack on an embassy. The Five was going on and on about this. You know, it's not the same. It's not the same. It's not Benghazi. Don't call it Trump's Benghazi. Mm-hmm. And then we have something to erase the memory again, because now we're at the precipice of World War III.
Right. And an impeachment. No one's talking about that.
An impeachment.
Right. Okay. It's a twofer.
And so what do we do when that happens? We have on Ari Fleischer. We have on Karl Rove, Ari Fleischer, and on the phone, Oliver North.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Paul Wolfowitz was not available. Yeah.
Oliver North on the phone on Hannity.
Yeah. Well.
And then for color, they brought on the mortal remains of Joe Piscopo.
Yeah.
But I digress.
Yeah.
The idea of manipulating memory when you've absolutely brainwashed people with the word Benghazi
Okay.
And the thing they know about it is
bad.
Embassy, right? Embassy burning. And here's a picture of embassy burning. Fires at an embassy.
Right.
And the only way to do, I really think that Trump in part did this because he was watching Fox.
Yeah, I have many thoughts. None of which I don't disagree with you. I would like to quote Richard Bruce Cheney when he said, Reagan proved deficits don't matter.
Right, right.
Republicans, yep. I cannot emphasize this enough. Republicans don't believe anything. They don't remember yep. anything. They remember whatever Sean Hannity shits into their skull yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I firmly believe Benghazi will be as forgotten as deficits were. The minute they're told.
Until Hillary Clinton pops her head up and says something.
This is not me speaking. This is George Orwell. George Orwell described doublethink, and not as the ability to forget the past and just erase the past, but to selectively re-recall things when you need to and then re-forget them and then forget that you forgot them. That's what the Republican, the entire Republican base has been trained to do. They can remember.
And this is what bothers me about Nancy Pelosi. We had this conversation last night that
yes, we did over dinner, our date.
Nancy Pelosi, you took me out to dinner. Thank you very much.
I had a wonderful time, by the way.
Thank you. Me too. Yeah. Very romantic. Mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi, absolutely has mastered, you know, the art of war. She's in Donald Trump's head, even after he assassinated an Iranian general. Mm-hmm. Today he is tweeting about Nancy Pelosi.
Yes.
He can't help himself.
Yes.
This is just, there is no wag the dog because Donald Trump doesn't know how to control a tail, his own tail. He just does not have that in him. Mm-hmm. So I get it that Nancy Pelosi is winning over on this impeachment thing by just staying in Donald Trump's head this way.
Yes.
But her argument that there is a difference between policy differences and impeachable offenses assumes that that Republicans are arguing in good faith about anything.
Right. Right.
And I'm over it.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm just over it.
I've been over it for a long time, possibly since 1994, depending on how you measure time. As I said today on the Twitter, we are now living with the consequences of the decision made by the mainstream press and by way too many people in the Democratic leadership, including Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi, not to curb stomp the Bush regime Iraq war pimps when they had a chance to, but instead promote them all into tenured media positions and pretend the Bush years never happened. And once Republicans learned that they were going to be able to get away with the epic disaster that was Bush with no consequences, it was game over. There was no need for them to pretend anymore to believe anything, because whatever the fuck came out of their mouth, every one of these assholes is a PhD in civil rights history right up until 1963. And then it gets real dark for many decades until Barack Obama comes along and ruins America. But they don't believe anything. So the idea that they would hang on to some previous iteration of their brainwashing is, I think, doesn't accurately diagnose what happened to them. They are the wholly owned property of Fox News. And whatever Sean Hannity tells them tonight, they will believe tomorrow. It doesn't matter if it conflicts. This is what people in the normal world, like you and I, find confusing. Because when someone says one thing one day and says the exact opposite the next day, both with equal passion, you think there's something wrong with them. Well, usually there is, but in this case, they're just Republicans. And they will go on doing this until they are brutally stopped from doing it, until power is slapped out of their hands and they're made to sit in the fucking corner for the next 30 years while we fix their problems. And until that happens, they're just going to go right on making shit up. They will rediscover Benghazi in 3 years when it becomes convenient. They'll rediscover John Kerry.
Yeah, whenever they need to.
When it becomes convenient.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever they need to. This is just a toolkit for them. And they don't have any ideology. They don't have any belief system. They don't believe in their Christianity is wholly ridiculous. It's just words that they put together to make liberals cry.
So, Driftglass, I think your righteous rant about this is helping you cope with that. for those of us that don't righteous rant, yes, it seems pretty hopeless.
Uh-huh. Well, that's why we have elections.
Yeah.
In 2020.
And that's really what I'm working on this year. I mean, postcards to voters, registering voters, because I do think what is happening, and I don't want to go full Marianne Williamson on anybody, but I do think there is a perspective at which you can see that the world is being wrenched out of selfishness.
Yeah.
The selfishness of the baby boom generation. And, you know, you and I are on the cusp of that. Mm-hmm. So I take responsibility as much as anybody else, but we're being, you know, the planet is not going to survive that level of selfishness anymore.
No.
And so I feel as though, and if I may, just getting back to a moment about why my word is beauty.
Yeah.
My word of the year is beauty. And it's not vanity. It's not putting on makeup. It's not before and after pictures or anything like that. I found an article in Harvard Magazine, excuse me, about, and it's by an undergraduate mathematics major. And she talks about solutions and finding theorems, you know, proofs of theorems.
Yeah.
And how you work and work and work and work and work with numbers. And advanced mathematicians always talk about numbers being beautiful. And she never sees it, you know, that she's been working and it's like, no, numbers are crazy making. And she and her associate were working on this problem that one of the proofs of which was, or what one of her professors said was, as numbers get bigger and bigger and bigger, they actually get closer together. There's like this vision thing where they form a pattern that you will eventually see, and it's gorgeous. It is beautiful how numbers adding up into infinity become this pattern. And she didn't see it for, you know, 18 months, three semesters. She's working on this stuff and these big chalkboards full of numbers and so forth. And one day she just got it. It just came to her. And she said, you work and you work and you work and you work. And one day you step back and look at the Sistine Chapel and it's like, oh, this is a glorious thing, you know? And I think if we can, and this, I mean, this year already, this is 3 days into the year and we're at World War III. And Australia is burning to the ground and a billion animals are dying. And, you know, I want to cry right now because it's just, everything is just horrible. But this is our opportunity to work. And we're working on numbers and things that are crazy making. But as you work and work and work and work, you step back and go, oh my gosh, look at this. Look at what we've done. And I have hope that we will get there. I have a friend who is dealing with cancer treatment, and on the day of her surgery, another friend, a mutual friend of ours, said, oh, what a shitty day. You know, she's got to go to the hospital and do this and this and this and this. And I looked at him and just said, are you kidding? She's going to the hospital to get healed.
Right.
You know, yes, it's a shitty day that she has to go in for cancer treatment.
Right.
But let's hope she comes out of the hospital well. You know, she comes out of the hospital cancer free. That's what we're going for, not cancer treatment. We're going for her being back. That's what we want.
Right.
And I feel like the cancer on this country has to be cut out.
Well,
however we do it. And we do it with elections. So let's do it with an election. Might take two or three more elections to get there.
It's going
to
take a generation. It will. And, as I'm sure I'm misquoting Churchill, or maybe not, when going through hell, keep going.
Right.
You know, this is when, you know, we back in the olden days during the Bush administration, when we were, you know, we were mere young stripling bloggers looking at the future with a bright glow in our eye and a little tan on our cheeks, saying, and we told people this is going to take a generation to clean up.
Yeah.
It's going to take a generation because the George Bush administration was such an absolute comprehensive clusterfuck. It fucked up everything. The economy, the environment, world peace, you name it. If they touched it, it was awful. And we're living in the shadow of that. The Trump administration is the dying remnants of the Bush administration regrouping twice as toxic as they were under Bush, using all the same tricks they used under Bush. Just the masks are off now. Mm-hmm. Oh, they really are a bunch of just racist assholes. That's all they ever were. That's all they're ever going to be. They're going to go to their fucking graves being hateful, racist assholes. All right, let's just bake that into the equation now and move forward. And you can see a pattern if you step back.
Yep.
And that's why we're talking a little bit about memory. It's,
well, yeah.
If you step back a little bit and notice sort of the absolute consistency with which the people who've been wrong have been wrong, and the absolute consistency with which they are protected by the corporations that employ them, and the basic 2 or 3 page playbook Republicans have to run everything they run. There's no complexity here. It's not hard to understand. It's tragic that a third of this country are just dead loss meatheads, but it's a fact. So it's a fact we have to deal with. Everyone, speaking of memories, having fun on Twitter today, batting around Maureen Dowd's 2016 op-ed entitled "Donald the Dove, Hillary the Hawk."
Yeah.
And I do want to mention that there's a gentleman on the Twitter named Oliver Darko, who this week, Trump campaign press secretary Kayleigh McEnany announced that in 2016, Donald Trump was the foregone nominee from the beginning. Never did anyone go up against President Trump. We loved our nominee. And it took Oliver Darko, quote, literally 30 seconds to find a video from 2015 where Kayleigh McEnany says Donald Trump is a horrible presidential candidate who spreads hate.
Yep.
It's that fast.
Because she's selling sunscreen. She's not selling anything real. She's just a spokesmodel for whoever pays her. Yeah.
And she squints into the glare of whoever's questioning her and ignores what they say and presents the lie of the day. She is a liar. Anytime she goes on a television show, you know that the person who runs that show has consented to put a filthy liar on the air and let her get away with murder. And that way, you know, you never have to take the person who's emceeing that show seriously ever again, because they're not journalists. They're just whores. So Wisconsin GOP, I understand, has done something remarkable.
Well, this is moving, just giving people a little bit of comic relief, but also helping to remind us how certain Republicans expect and demand 2/3 of the field.
Yes.
You know, you should give me 50% of the field, because if you don't give me 50%, it's not fair.
It's not fair.
Even if you're 20% of the voters, I get 50%, right? And that means you're getting 80%. Wisconsin State Rep Scott Allen, he has a plan for Black History Month in Wisconsin.
He does.
Every year, apparently, they identify 10 people who are instrumental to Black History Month. The legislature does a resolution, right? Non-binding. It's just a piece of paper. It declares it's Black History Month. Here are 10 Black people who have contributed to our history, etc. Congratulations, it's Black History Month. Resolution. Scott Allen decided that it would be more fair if 6 of the people on the Black History Month list were white.
That's just fair. That's just fair.
Well, because white people worked on the Underground Railroad too.
Wait a minute. 3/5 of the list. Or that
exactly. They get 3/5, literally.
Just like my brain hurts.
Literally.
Now, I have a question. Was Jefferson Davis one of those people? Because, you know, without Jefferson Davis, there would have been no Emancipation Proclamation, blue gal.
Anyway, so I am reading this from Wonkette, and there is a state senator named Lena Taylor who is a goddess, all right? She's an African-American woman who just, come on, man. She said, and I'm reading this all from Wonkette, her quote, "Why should this white man, Allen, be leading what we do on Black History Month? The fact that this even needs to be discussed is a reflection of where we are as a society. Mm-hmm. I wake up every day as a Black woman. I'm not exactly sure what it is that Scott Allen believes he knows better than me." Now, then Alan, to his credit, tried to explain to her what he knows more than a black woman.
He's white mansplaining. That's the best kind of explaining.
White mansplain what it is.
Excellent.
It's important that we not politicize black history.
Yeah, that'd be a tragedy.
Here's what he said. I'd rather we work together to pass a resolution the Republican caucus can be excited about.
Yeah, like the Missouri Compromise. Yeah.
If we can do that one simple thing, then we can start to attack the tougher issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
all those issues that are tougher than endemic racism.
And then he accused her of identity politics.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
At this point, Taylor, who is running for mayor of Milwaukee, and Wonkett calls her a national treasure, sent Alan an email. And this is, I am reading what she said verbatim. Huh? Thank you, Massa Allen, for picking whose we should honor, sir. We sure ain't capable of thinking for ourselves, sir.
Oh, God.
She's my hero of the week.
There's going to be several people from D&J's Diner who are going to write very angry letters to hear about this.
Letters to her, mm-hmm. Yes. About how unfair and a politicized environment, and how, why are you polarizing things
why
so much?
Why are you doing that all identity politics?
Dividing America. Why are you dividing America by excluding white people from being honored on Black History Month?
Mm-hmm.
We should have at least 6 out of 10 people on our list.
I just don't know.
It is literally 3/5. I hadn't done the math. Yeah. Speaking of math, I had not done the math.
Yeah. Can I just say this? Speaking as a middle-aged white guy, fucking white people, blue gal.
Fucking white people. I just can't.
I can't. I am such a race traitor. It's not even funny.
Well, and the fact that he gave away the game with the, you know, if you want Republicans to vote for you, better make it more white.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then that makes my decision very easy.
Very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of people who are out of touch with America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More than 200 Republican lawmakers have signed a letter asking the Supreme Court to upend Roe v. Wade because it's unworkable.
Yeah, it just can't work. It just can't
work.
You know
what's unworkable? Telling women what to do with their bodies is unworkable.
This really is the last days of Pompeii. This is just, mountain smoking behind them like, okay, what can we fucking loot before this whole thing goes bad? Because we got to just stuff our pockets. Can we get rid of Roe versus Wade? Great. Pack the courts? Cool. Maybe just wipe 20 million voters off the voter rolls because fuck it, they're black. Why not? Yeah, we'll do that too. But the mountain is going to blow. The volcano is going to erupt no matter what they do.
It's
going to
be painful for all of us when that happens.
And like climate change, this could be fixed early if reasonable people had recognized the problem, which is painfully obvious, and intervened back when things weren't this fucking awful. But now they're awful. Now solutions are going to be fairly drastic. And they're going to leave some very raw feelings and some people with stripped of power who will feel incredibly aggrieved because it wasn't my fault. I didn't keep slaves. And sorry, but those are the options you have left us with by being such a pernicious force on the throat
for
of American politics
and white
for
nationalism.
Generations. So sorry, that's the way it goes. I did want to mention that Joan Walsh also did good service.
Mm-hmm.
With her end of the decade, both siderism has screwed us lamentation, entitled This Fucking Decade, in which she said for years, media and political elites refused to acknowledge the growing racism and radicalism of the Republican Party. Their both sidesism led to Trump's GOP takeover.
Yep.
Now, I have nothing but nice thing to say about Joan Walsh. You've interviewed Joan Walsh.
Yes, I love her.
We all follow each other. She's terrific. My only caveat, which may make you a little depressed, is I, too, was going to write an end of the decade. Both sides have screwed us. Lamentation. Except I realized I wrote it a decade ago.
Yes, you did.
I literally wrote this December 31st, January 1st of 2010, exactly this article.
But you know what, Drift Class? I'm also done being resentful of people finally coming around to our way
me
of
too.
Thinking.
No. And let's repeat this very clearly. I'm not resentful at all.
No.
I think it's great. I think that people who try to sneak into our little we told you so party by pretending they had nothing to do with the problem
Yeah, that's not like, Joan Walsh.
No. Yeah, that's not at all. No. She got herself, read the article, we'll put the link up. She got herself fired from Morning Joe.
Yes.
From refusing to play the Both Sides Do It game, even though Joe and Mika both basically demanded that she say Keith Olbermann was as bad as Sean Hannity.
Right.
And she wouldn't do it. And that was the end of her career at MSNBC, pretty much. So she's been on the side of the angels for the most part forever. It is the never Trumpers who want to say, "Whoa, man, can you believe that Republican Party, man? And everything was going great until around 2015. Then who the fuck knows what happened?" Those people, no. I want to hear Stuart Stevens is about the only one who now has a book out called "It Was All a Lie."
Mm-hmm.
And he and I actually exchange, you know, tweets and occasional email where he says, "No, it was a lie. You're right. It was all a fucking lie. Republicans never believed any of this stuff. I know. I was the most successful Republican consultant of my generation, and it was all a lie." People like that, who are willing to admit what happened, how we got here, atone for it, and do some degree of cleanup of the mess they made, I'm more than happy to have on board. I'm not a vengeful person, despite my word of the year. But these fuckers who got themselves bloody. And this is, you know, this week, I guess, is the perfect example. All the same people who got us into fucking Iraq are back in the fucking headlines talking about foreign policy as if it never happened, as if their hands are clean, as if they weren't horribly wrong before. And the reason that they are allowed to do that is because they are permitted to be promoted into positions of authority within the Republican Party and within the mainstream press, because those two institutions are averse to holding anyone who works for them responsible for anything. They can't do it.
And they're also addicted to covering wars.
Yes, well, that's true. And war stocks. Yep. How are my war stocks
doing? War stocks, yeah. Yeah, just like your pharma stock.
You want to talk about Geraldo Rivera screaming at Brian Kilmeade?
Well, it was a screaming fit.
That kind of made my morning.
Yeah. I covered it at Crooks and Liars. It's just they had a screaming battle and Geraldo Rivera invoked the name of Bill Kristol.
I know.
Which was remarkable. You know, you're just like Bill Kristol. You never met a war you didn't love. And Brian Kilmeade's job is to repeat the Fox News mantra at a time when Republicans attack another country. America. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. America, fuck yeah. Oh yeah. We're gonna bash some heads in. Yeah, yeah. And Geraldo Rivera, you know, has been on the ground in Iraq and he wasn't gonna have it. And, you know, a lot of people on Twitter were like, "Boy, I'm waking up third day of the year and I agree with Geraldo Rivera. What's going on?"
Yeah. Well, and it's because
it will pass.
This is what happens when Roger Ailes dies.
Yeah.
They don't have anyone who is at the head of the table deciding what the party line is going to be day to day.
Well, and let's talk about the table too, because it was so serious to have, you know, an assassination that Fox and Friends went to the news desk instead of the crotch couch. Yeah. And it was a news desk that you couldn't see through, so you couldn't see Ainsley Earhart's legs. That's how serious it was.
That's very serious. When you can't see right up the crotch, you know
it's
bad.
Right up the crotch in the crotch couch. They took away the crotch couch and put up a desk, but the desk wasn't see-through.
Oh, God.
That, like, you know, Trump's wall. Mm-hmm. So I said Roger Ailes is in hell spinning right now. Because this is not the TV network he created.
It is. It just depended on him holding the whip and getting everyone in line and eventually, you know, firing people who got too big or got too financially inconvenient. But
you
know, Roger Ailes has metastasized. No one knows what the big lie is they're supposed to tell today. So they all look up to Sean Hannity. So, "Sean, tell us, what are we supposed to be lying about today?" And they don't know. And Donald Trump was never supposed to be their candidate. This was not supposed to happen. It was supposed to be someone who would just shut up and take orders from Fox News. And Donald Trump is.
And actually, there is someone who takes orders from Fox News, but he's so unpredictable that the push and push me pull you on this is we have to defend Trump no matter what. And Trump flips from one day to the next. He should be tweeting about nothing but our victory over Iran today. Right.
Right.
And he's tweeting about Nancy Pelosi and impeachment. He can't stop.
And speaking of Fox News, I do want to mention, paraphrase Iwi Mistal, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Talking about wild horses couldn't drag me to go see Bombshell.
Good.
A bunch of white ladies who worked for this fascist, seditious, treasonous news. I'm now misquoting him. News propaganda shithole complaining that it was also a sexual predatory factory is just too much.
You know? And actually, that was the take of one of my knitting friends who did go to see it.
Yeah.
And her takeaway was, these ladies didn't get on their knees for their paycheck.
No.
You know, and that's not victim blaming. It, when you're a hot blonde and you can walk out of a building and go into local news and make a living, you decided, I have to be at the top of my career ladder. Mm-hmm. And I'll do anything, including get along with Roger Ailes, you know.
Well, you eyes open, clear head, went to work for evil people.
You're right.
And then you got freaked out.
You went to work for Fox.
Then you got freaked out. Oh, you didn't mean that kind of evil. That evil is bad. But this other stuff, you know, bashing liberals, trashing the country, ruining everything.
Bashing
the
poor.
Yeah,
bashing immigrants. That's fine.
That's all cool. But this.
Well, and bashing your own intelligence. Let's face it.
Yeah. Greta Van Susteren.
Who's the one who finally? No, not well, Greta, but then the other one who actually sued Fox.
I forget. I don't know. They're all blonde and replaceable to me. But yeah, she actually.
But she has a law degree.
Yeah, and she dumbed it down to sit on the crotch couch.
Dumbed it down and dumbed it down and said, "I looked up the word czar today in the dictionary."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, just absurd.
So I'm sorry. My heart does not go out to people who went to work for fascists and discovered
Fox,
fascists.
And now
bad
all of
people.
A sudden they're mad. Yeah. Right. All righty. News roundup.
Shall we? After you.
Yeah. As of this morning, NBC reports that 3,500 more troops are being deployed to the Middle East. Fuck Donald Trump.
Yeah. The proof of Donald Trump's criminality in the Ukraine treason keeps piling up. Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney was warned by a senior advisor last summer that he should, quote, expect Congress to become unhinged, unquote, if the White House withheld security aid to Ukraine.
According to a study by the Federal Reserve, Trump's tariffs backfired and led to job losses and higher prices.
And those mooching commie farmers got more than $22 billion of your hard-earned tax money to bribe them into continuing to support Donald Trump, the guy who ruined their markets. This nets out to more than the price of Barack Obama saving the American auto industry during the Great Recession, which was, as you recall, according to Republicans, worse than 12 Stalins.
Mm-hmm. Trump's North Korea policy is now exposed as a complete and utter failure, and Trump himself as a credulous chump who can be played by any tyrant who strokes his ego.
Yeah, there's something about Deutsche Bank today. No, I'm not.
Oh, my God.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Deutsche Bank documentation is coming out that it looks like the Russians guaranteed Donald Trump's loans.
You mean that Donald Trump was actually fucking broke and in debt, and the Russians
and in debt and needed a loan badly, and Deutsche Bank had cut him off until the Russians stepped in and said, "We'll co-sign a loan." The Russian bank co-signed the loan for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Over $700 million.
Yeah, and they've been collecting the vig on that ever since.
Which is why you don't see his tax returns.
Ever. Ever.
Ever.
He'd rather go to prison than release his tax returns. This is the week that Julian Castro dropped out, which is a major blow to the Democratic Party. It's now the next debate is going to be all white all the time, which is not what I signed up for.
Well, we don't know if Andrew Yang's going to be in the debate or not.
Okay.
It wouldn't be all white if it was Andrew Yang. But
fair point. But I didn't sign up for Andrew Yang either. So
if you count, you're either white or a billionaire, then you know, and that's the point. I think that's the point, is the situation with money and the Washington press corps' obsession with how much did everybody raise in the fourth quarter.
That's
which Charlie Pierce cut right down. Like, if that's how you're ranking the candidates, is whether or not they raised $20 million in 3 months, something's wrong with our democracy.
Well, that's the only way they can remain, you know, neutral They can't report on facts, lies, policy, because that'll make people unhappy. That'll make the people at DJ's Diner write letters. So instead, they report on money and poll numbers, which are morally neutral.
Does that money go? That money goes to former media employees who are consultants, and it goes to ad buys.
Ad buys on television. That's right.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Rana, we know you're a Romney McDaniel. Cites two women as GOP success stories for women, Kellyanne Conway and Ivanka Trump.
Yeah. More good news from Wisconsin Republicans who are stepping on their own rakes. This is this week's feel-good story for me. Republicans want to purge nearly a quarter million voters from the election, from the Wisconsin polls, but the election commission they themselves set up is stopping them from doing it.
Right. They tried to hamstring any election reform by making the election commission half Republican and half Democrat, which as it is in nationally, the Republicans have hamstringed it that way as well.
Uh-huh.
And they forgot that the election commission has to approve by state law any purging of the voter rolls. And so the three Democrats on that committee have said no.
And I just love it when stupid people try to pull levers and it breaks off in their hand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I certainly hope that that continues to happen.
Oh, yeah.
For the Republican Party, because I really think that is the straw that will break the boat Cyrus back, is the assertion that we have to make that saying both sides are equally bad is racist, is a white nationalist statement to make.
It is.
There is only one side that's preventing black people from voting, that's preventing the black voice from being heard in United States government. And it's the Republicans. And if you keep saying both sides, both sides, both sides, you are enabling white nationalism.
And as a matter of policy, this is not an accident. This is the minute the Voting Rights Act was gutted. Republican legislatures all over the country pulled the trigger on this stuff. They were waiting to black people.
That's why the courts are packed. Mm-hmm. That's why all of it. It is conscious to keep white people in power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to call out the media for that, for enabling that.
Speaking of calling out the media, a viral edited video of Joe Biden should be a warning to everyone to double check everything. It was bad. And too many people picked it up and ran with it before they bothered to check that it was a joke. It wasn't a joke, but it was James O'Keefe level rat fucking being done by the Chapo boys
and laughing about it.
Yeah, because everything's a fucking joke. And unless, you know, the only person who's allowed to win in this election is our guy. Everyone else is a monster who should be destroyed no matter the tactic. Ha ha ha, we got away with it. You know, if you're 12, I suppose that's excusable. You're not. So I don't excuse it.
Yep. And I think I speak for you, Driftglass, when I say neither one of us is a Biden supporter at this moment.
But I will pick him up and carry him across the finish line if I can.
If he's the nominee. Absolutely. Yes. And you found this, Driftglass, this week.
I did.
The 2020 election chess set.
Yes. Watching,
which has empty Democratic podium. Because you'll get the actual Democratic nominees when they are selected.
For
you'll
additional get those fee, Blue Gal.
Or an additional thing. Yeah. And Mike Pence is the queen.
Yeah. Oh, this is the virtue of watching weird cable channel. Because the goofiest.
Late at night.
Yeah, LRA television. I'm up watching Firefly. And this thing comes on. I'm like, oh my God. And here's the horrible thing. First thought, this is podcastable, Blue Gal.
This is podcastable.
I have content. You said running to
I got to say, our whole house went total Firefly this week the marathon on El Rey. Just that was a lot. We love Firefly. We do. All right. I also want to point out that there are lines everywhere in Illinois to buy pot.
Yes, there are.
It's legal pot, and kudos to Governor J.B. Pritzker, who also, the day before pot became legalized in Illinois, he pardoned 11,000 low-level marijuana convictions, which were just kind of, those were the easy ones. He's also doing a rolling pardon as other cases are reviewed. So this is that was the beginning, like the ones, okay, this guy won conviction or whatever, you know, the easy ones. He did all those at once. And now it's a rolling pardon. He will continue to issue pardons as these cases are reviewed. Then there's this state rep in the 55th Illinois State House District, whose Facebook page is a Christianist nightmare. Mm-hmm. You know, protect the flag, protect the cross. Thank God we can still say Merry Christmas.
Thank God.
And he has been, this guy has been lying about pot and buying legal weed in Illinois, and that might prevent you from being able to buy a gun later.
You're going to go on the gun grabber
database. You're
going to
go on a government database. You're for sure going to go on a government database, and then that'll get shared with the federal government, and then that'll come back to the state government, and then J.B. Pritzker's coming for your guns.
When Barack Obama kicks in your door to take your guns, and right. You know.
Oh. Right, and this is the whole thing. And I guess he's trying to say, okay, so continue to buy illegal weed? Is that what he's saying? Because
again, opposing logic on anything he's going to say is a fool's errand.
But the thing is, the local Sinclair affiliate picked up from this state rep, we assume, this lie.
Breathlessly reported.
And reported it as, watch out, you might not be able to get your gun purchasing card if you buy legal pot. Well, I'm here to tell you that what they do when you buy pot legally in Illinois is they scan your license to make sure you're old enough to buy it.
Right.
They scan my license at Target when I buy a bottle of wine.
Right. You know? And that's why you can't have guns. My wife cannot have a gun in Illinois.
Your wife can't have guns.
Because she buys domestic wine.
I buy too much Malbec. Mm-hmm. No. So... all you people out there buying Bud Light in Illinois and getting your license scanned, you know, the government's putting you in a database. Yeah.
Well, and this was debunked by a local, local institution, a local reporting.
Jim, absolutely. Yep.
Capital Facts.
Capital Facts. Yep.
Capital Facts. FAX. Yep. Cause when he started doing this, he had a fax machine. He came to the Capitol and picked up on what was going on and wrote down rumors and wrote down stuff. And people started confiding in him decades ago. And it's a local, indispensable local political hot sheet. And it was like, nope, they're lying to you. you're not going
and
on.
And Sinclair pulled the story and issued a correction. So we're going to have more of this kind of crazy fear mongering, though. You know, that anytime there's a change, it's time to fear monger and make sure people think that Democrats are trying to put you in a database. Well,
and this is why it's so important to get rid of local newspapers, honey, because
they can interfere with my Facebook post how government's trying to take away your guns. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. By the way, we love our listeners. We love all of you.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year, everyone. And it's going to get better. We're going to fight for it.
And we're going to be here all year long. So
we are.
Don't worry about it.
52 weeks. Absolutely. Yep. Internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty, however, is a beautiful German shepherd dog. Her name is Fida, which is feminine for Fido. Mm-hmm. And Abraham Lincoln's dog was named Fida. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Fida is a senior dog, aging very gracefully, we must say. And of course, Fida demands freshly poured dog food, our fake sponsor. Whether you serve pet store perfection or dollar store dreck, your pet will sit on the kitchen floor, just like Fida, and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. And you can visit Fida at our Facebook page or website. You can send your internet kitty or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions! Letter on the air, unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job. And we have heard from a couple people this week who liked that buy me a coffee option at our website, because it lets you just give us $5 real quick. Just click, click, and you've given us $5. And if there's something on one particular show you really loved, then you can click on it and give us $5, buy us a coffee, that kind of thing. So good. Good for you. Thank you for doing that. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution. You can, too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. Both our PayPal and postal address information, buy me a coffee, Patreon, etc. It's all there at proleftpod.com. And we do not put your name in a database so that you can't buy a gun.
Narrator, spoiler, we are coming for your guns. Yeah, you're in a database.
Please share our show on social media, and thank you for doing that. Hey, Drift Class, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties sincerely hope that the Democratic Party is out there registering voters at the long, long lines at the legal pot-purchasing outlets.
Let's think about living. Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-doving. Let's forget about the whine and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2019-2020, DGBG Productions.